can see what happened. So I'll be preaching with my jacket open this morning. And if you would turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to be preaching a Mother's Day message this morning. I didn't even have to think about which message I would be preaching. And so it would just seem like the Lord led me in this direction. And we'll be speaking mostly to our mothers this morning. And Steve, that's getting loud. We've got to echo again. Excuse us. We have a brand new sound system, and it just takes a little bit to get it all adjusted. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I was thinking this morning as we get started about the little boy who was so glad that he had a little brother coming along. And he got to telling his teacher at school about it. He had a little brother coming, talking about it at home. And so he was so excited about it that his mama let him feel his little brother in her tummy when he began to move and get active. And the little boy stopped talking about it. So later on at school, the teacher said, Timmy said, you've been talking so much about your little brother. And she said, all of a sudden, you've stopped talking about him. She said, what's wrong? He said, well, I found out mommy ate him. I think that's a true story. Good to laugh. Well, isn't it great to see the sunshine this morning? Praise God on this beautiful Lord's Day, Mother's Day. We're just grateful for you being here. You know, there are many people in our lives who influence us, and we could go down a list of people who influence us in our lives. And that would be our teachers and preachers, leaders, our supervisors at work. It could even be people who influence us, even people who are work under us, who live godly lives. Many people influence us. There are many people, influences on our lives. But I think that our mothers is the most influential person in the world to us, especially during our times of growing up. A mother can impact her child for good, or she can impact her child for evil. I think of an evil king in the Old Testament. The Bible says his mother influenced him for evil. And so we want to encourage you this morning, and that's what the message will be about. Moms, influence your children. You are the greatest influence in their lives, and I encourage you and exhort you to influence them for good. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray you take the message. Lord, the thing we need most right now is for you to help our lips speak eternal truths, that you to help our tongue to speak the word of God, for it is eternal. And I pray you'd bless our mothers today, bless each one that's come, and bless us, give us traveling safeties to and from. I pray, bless our service now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A mother is the most influential person. She not only physically forms a child in her womb, but once that child is born, that mother still influences and physically forms that child. Amen. She not only physically forms them, but she spiritually forms them. She will form a child spiritually that will last longer than the physical formation that happens inside of her womb. Make sure, ladies, that you understand that. The eternal destiny of mankind is shaped by the influences of a mother. A mother can harden a child. A mother can tenderize a child. A mother can encourage a child. A mother can discourage a child. A mother can vilify her children, or a mother can build her children. I encourage you this morning to be a mother who encourages, who does not vilify, who does build. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible says that every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And so a wise woman is going to be a builder. She's going to constantly be building. Listen, you can't build and constantly vilify. You cannot build and constantly criticize and put down. Listen, you must build character. You must encourage and build your children. You wouldn't go home this morning and begin to tear your house apart, the rafters and the beams and the shingles, and start taking a sledgehammer and undermining the foundation. And so the Bible encourages a mother and says that a wise mother builds her house. There is a Spanish proverb that says 1 ounce of mother is worth a pound of preachers. Mothers have a spiritual ministry, and it's more important than all the work that a mother can do. That is her spiritual ministry. A mother will labor and labor and labor and labor for her children. It is estimated that a mother will have in child-related labor by the time a child is 18 years old, she will have 20,000 hours of labor in that in child-related labor. But the greatest thing, ladies, that you can do is instill the Word of the living God in your children. Reminds me of a father who was trying to explain to his 5-year-old daughter the process of getting married and starting a family. And he thought the best way to show his 5-year-old daughter the relationship was to get out their wedding book with all the pictures, their photo album. And he began to show her the pictures of he and his wife as they got married. And as he got done, he said, "Sweetheart, do you have any questions?" She said, "Yeah, Daddy. Is that when Mommy came to work for us?" So often we treat our mothers. They do labor for us physically. Listen, let me say this. Look up here at me. Gentlemen, do not treat your wife as a maid. Children, do not treat your mother as a waitress. She's the most important, the most precious person in your home. Our kids, I often hear our kids, and if you have children, you know this is so true. I get up sometimes on Saturday morning. I'm not usually home through the week, and all I hear is, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy." And after about 15 times, if she doesn't answer, they say, "Hey, Dad." And you know what the next two words are? "Where's Mom?" That's the truth. She holds our house together. I think of Moses, whose mother endangered her life. She went against the command of Pharaoh, who said, "Destroy all the children." And she endangered her life to save her child. Moses' mother was a godly woman who would not only save his life, but would teach him, and later he would become the man of God that we all know him to be because of his mother. This is a true story. A little girl was so ashamed of her mother. Her mother had horribly disfigured hands and arms, and she was so ashamed of her mother. And they went to Walmart one day, and as her mother paid for the groceries, the clerk behind the desk shriveled from the sight, the horrific sight of her mother's hands and arms. And she was so ashamed. She got in the car after they got out in the parking lot, and she finally confessed to her mother that she was very embarrassed by her appearance. They got home, and the mother let her go up in her room and waited about an hour. Went up in her room and sat down and said, "Sweetheart, I have a story to tell you. When you were an infant, our house caught on fire. And I came down the steps and I could have gone out the front door and been saved. But the flames were engulfing your room. And I chose to die with you rather than to run out the door and live. I ran into your room and I wrapped you as much as I could in my hands and arms, ran through the flame to the outside, and in horrific pain and standing in the front yard, I rejoiced that you were okay." The little girl, in tears and remorse, walked up and kissed her mother's hands and arms. And from then on, that became the most beautiful thing to her in her sight. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of our Savior, who gave His life, who was beaten beyond recognition, who was mutilated, crucified, shed every drop of blood He could shed so that you and I might be saved and redeemed and have a right standing before God. And yet, listen carefully, we're ashamed of Him. God help us this morning as Christians, because you see, just as the little girl had to hear the rest of the story to understand and appreciate the scars her mother bore for her, I think you and I won't really fully appreciate what the Lord has done for us until we stand in His presence and then we hear the rest of the story and we see the suffering, we see the disfigurement, we see the scars that are still on His hands. God help us in that day to not look back and say, "I'm sorry, Lord, I was ashamed of You." I think of the mother in Solomon's case. Two women were claiming the same child. And Solomon said, "We're going to solve this problem. You two ladies, this child cannot belong to both of you, so we're going to divide it in half and give half to one and half to the other." And the real mother said, "No, don't do that. Give her the child. Let it live." Sometimes, mother, you have to give up your child for its betterment. Can I say that again? Sometimes, mother, you have to let go. There comes a point when you let go of your child because it's better for that child. Solomon's example proves that to us. I think of the lady who was asked, and they said, "Ma'am, you've got all these children. If you had life to live over, would you still have all those children?" She said, "Yes, but not the same ones." I think of the mother of Solomon, who in Proverbs 31 gave him advice and said, "Solomon, live your life godly. It's not for King Solomon to give themselves to wine. It's not for King Solomon to live ungodly. It's up to kings to live solid and steadfast and godly. And it's up to kings to find the right woman." Paul reminds Timothy here of the faith that he had because of his mother and also his grandmother in a book that is filled with paternal legends. In a book that is filled of paternal genealogy. We read endless genealogies of the Jews, all mentioning the men. Paul did not mention the father or the grandfather of Timothy. He mentioned the mother and the grandmother of Timothy. He did not fall back on his Jewish training to place emphasis on the paternal, but he placed emphasis in Timothy's case on the maternal. It is a man's job to be the spiritual leader in the home. But listen, if there's an absence of a father, if there's an absence of a grandfather, and I've said this and I'll say it again, ladies, if you're married to a man who will not honor God and be faithful to his house, you step up and be the spiritual leader in your home. Some of you ladies, shake your head with me, say amen. Step up and be the spiritual leader in your home. My dad worked on the railroad 12, 14, 16 hours a day. A lot of Sundays he had to work. And my mom took us to church. Amen. Matter of fact, I didn't want to go. I went kicking and screaming sometimes. But we went to church. You know what? We didn't get up on Sunday morning and get a cup of coffee and lounge around in our PJs and say, "Well, are we going to church today?" You know how many people do that? You know why I preach to a lot of, many Sundays, I preach to a different church. Some people are here and they're gone and they're unfaithful, and some people come back and this church changes every Sunday. Why aren't people faithful? I understand when people leave to visit their moms, I understand those things. But listen, some people get up on Sunday morning and make a decision on whether they're going to church or not. That was not so in our house. When you got out of church on Wednesday night, you knew where you were going to be on Sunday morning. Amen. You didn't get up and drink a cup of coffee, lounge around and say, "Are we going to church?" You knew you were going to church. Unless you were had a stomach virus, deathly sick, or the mortician was taking your shoes off, you were going to church. Amen. If I could instill two characteristics, and I appreciate my mother being here this morning. If I could instill two of her characteristics, not only in our mothers, but in all of our people, I would instill her faithfulness and her prayer life. Those are the two things that I would instill in every one of us. She has been faithful for years and years. And I tell you what, I'm glad she's praying for me because I'd hate to have her praying against me. Amen. Paul reminds Timothy of something here. Now, I want us to see this. I had you to turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to go there for just a few moments. 2 Timothy 3, and let's begin reading. And this is going to seem strange to read verse 1 through 5 or 6 here for Mother's Day, but there's a really good point here that I want us to see. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, knowing this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. You say, how does that relate to Mother's Day? We're going to find out. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Watch this, there are going to be two types of women in this chapter. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. There's our first type of woman, a silly woman. And she's not prepared her children. We've seen all these things listed, ungodliness, perilous times, men who are lovers of themselves, and we've seen all these things come, and they're coming in the last days, and we're facing those days now. And Paul says the worst way you can face all these sins and the disastrous morals of our time, the worst way you can face those is with a silly woman. But watch this. Go down to verse 14. Paul says, Timothy, there's something I want you to understand here. Verse 14. But you, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Did you get that? From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Then he places the emphasis on the Scripture, and he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Paul said, of all these things that are coming on us, all these perilous times, all this sin, all this immorality, all this ungodliness, Timothy, the way you're going to endure these things is to fall back on your teachings of when you were a child, of when your mother and your grandmother not only lived the Scriptures, but taught you the Scriptures, and these have been instilled in you and placed inside of you. And Timothy, that's how you will make it in an immoral day. Shake your head with me. Moms, that's how your children will make it, as evil and seducers wax worse and worse. Your children will make it through tough times when you have built the Word of God into them while they were under your roof. You have, mothers, an awesome responsibility to instill into them the Word of God, which Paul says all Scripture is given by inspiration. He also says that these Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Timothy did not inherit salvation. He was taught salvation. He was given the example. His example at home was unhypocritical. His example at home was real. His example at home was sincere and without pretense. And that created an environment, a spiritual environment, for Timothy to grow up in and to go through life meeting the challenges of the man of God because he was trained at home. I recently heard a story of a pastor who had a conversation with a man who had backslidden. He was trying to get that man back in church and join the church and get active. And he talked and talked and talked to him. And finally that man said, "Preacher, you've convinced me. I know it's the right thing to do. I'm going to come back to church, get my family in. We're going to get started." And the preacher said, "What did I say that influenced you to do that?" He said, "It's not what you said, it's the way my mother lived." A scriptural mother will care more for the soul than for the body. A scriptural mother, a spiritual mother, will care more for eternal life than success in life. A scriptural mother will care more for the relationship with the Lord Jesus rather than popularity with the world. A scriptural mother will be a mother who places a standing before God over top of a social standing. A scriptural mother will be one who places the spiritual aspect of a person over the intellectual aspect of a person. A spiritual mother will be one who places emphasis on the scripture and on the spirit, not on music and athletics. Amen. I think about last Sunday, I left here and I went up to visit Bob and Eleanor. Bob's been coming to church here. They're not here this morning. Eleanor's still out with her surgery. He's been coming to church here probably about 18 or 19 months. Never been saved, never made a profession of faith. I went by and visited with them 2 or 3 hours, and finally at the end of the visit, I said, "Bob, I want to talk to you about the Lord. I need to know. Have you ever been saved?" He said, "No." He said, "I've never been saved." But he said, I've been thinking about it. I've been considering it. I know I need to." I said, "I wouldn't put that off, Bob." He said, "Well, it's going to happen." I said, "Bob, it needs to happen today. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Don't put it off." He began to well up with tears, and he walked to the couch, and we knelt down, and Bob got saved. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. We had a shouting time. Miss Eleanor was wiping tears. Bob got up from the couch wiping tears. I couldn't help but shout just a little bit. And listen carefully. That man's, I'm going to guess his age. I don't think he'd mind. I'm going to guess Bob's in his mid-70s. The first thing he said as he rose from the couch, wiping the tears, he said, "My mama's sure going to be happy to know this." I said, "Bob, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents." I said, "I think your mama's real happy this morning." I think that sets an example for us as we close the message that you cannot get away. You can be 75 or 90 or 105 and you will not get away from the godly influence of your mother. You will not get away from the godly influence of her prayers. Amen. I'm going to read you this and we'll close the message. I'm going to open up the doors of the church in just a moment. We're going to deal with folks that might need to be saved first. But I'll read you this poem. I don't usually read a poem, but I like this one. It said, "My mother, your love I know, I've seen your tears, you've given to me my life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me, you gave up needs and often rest, you viewed eternity. To do His will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer you've helped me day by day. You've shown me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon past. And we're going to go back to our motto one more time. Just one life, and when it's past, just what's done for Christ will last. Let's all stand. I'm through preaching. God bless you. Lisa, if you'd come to the piano, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed as we come to the end of the message. I want to have a short invitation. It's still got plenty of time. It's well in advance of 12 o'clock. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I want to ask you something this morning. First of all, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Can you go back to a time when you bowed down and you called upon Him and you repented of your sins and reached out to God by faith? Have you done that? If not, right now's the day. Today's the day. Now is the accepted time. We're waiting. We're going to wait on you. Come to the altar. I'll turn my microphone off. Take a Bible and show you how you can be saved this morning. You can be saved in the twinkling of an eye. By placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. By repenting of your sins. By turning to Him. Maybe you're a mother here this morning. You're lost. You have no spiritual help. You've not studied the Scriptures. You have no authority in your life. Oh, listen, dear mother, you need to be saved. You need to mold and make your home on the Word of God. Then maybe you're here and maybe you're like Bob. You're headed to hell over a mother's prayer. Some mother's been weeping for you and praying for you, desiring to see you to come to Jesus. You've been putting it off. Living a life that's displeasing unto God. The altar's open. We're going to wait just a moment. And maybe there are others of us who, like the little girl, was ashamed of her mother's arms. We're ashamed of the Lord. God help us this morning to come clean, to get our hearts right. Maybe you're a mother who just says, preacher, I want to move closer to the Lord. I want to be a better influence in my home for Jesus Christ. We wait just a moment. I'd place my cares, my concern, my fears, my failures on this altar before I left this day. Do you have a desire to be in the house of God? Do you have a desire to raise your children under the scriptural and spiritual teaching of truth? As we wait just a moment, I'm going to close the service. No one moving. I'll say God bless you and thank you for being here. We appreciate you being here on Mother's Day. Honor your mother, honor your wife today. And then I want you to, Lisa, you can keep playing, but I want you to look this way with me. We're going to pray in this moment. But I want to do this. I want to open the doors.